What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
It is a Saturday. The sun is out. The rain has moved on. Smoke moves in again tomorrow. Once again, air quality alert Sunday and Monday. It has been a tough summer weather-wise. We're going to go outdoors. Steve Kearney joins us, and stevekearneyoutdoors.com. Steve, how you been?
I've been okay until you told me the smoke's coming back. Not happy about that.
Hate but, to be the bearer of bad news, but I'm just... Reading the word, once again, air quality alert for the entire state. Worse in northern Minnesota than it is here in the metro area, but still worth keeping an eye on. 9 a.m. Sunday until 9 a.m. Tuesday.
Whoa. Yeah, well, yeah. We're kind of used to it. This has been going on for like 3 months, and, you know, we had it last year as well. But, you know, toughing it out in the mornings and still catching fish. Things have slowed down a little bit, and I've been scouting, duck stuff, you know, right now the last week or so. And I'll tell you, in northern Minnesota, northwestern Minnesota, we have a tremendous wild rice crop. And I don't know why, if it was the low water in the spring or the high water we've had in the last, you know, couple months, the wild rice is just crazy. And the ducks are loving it. And I think this is going to make a big deal going. I think the locals are going to hang around a little bit more, and the migrants will be attracted to that wild rice, and that's really good news to see a really good wild rice crop. I think that's going to be, it's going to bode well for the waterfowlers this year.
Yeah, Steve, another thing, speaking of hunting season, is pheasant activity. Very, very early, have you seen pheasants in your travels?
I have, and actually I had a dozen really small, tiny little pheasants fly across my truck a couple days ago.
Wow.
They were barely able to fly, and that's quite a nice brood right there. So, yeah, you know, Grant County, Douglas County, some of the counties, you know, that aren't really known for pheasants seem to have some pretty good birds this year. Again, it's hard to say. You know, the corn is up, the beans are up. It's really hard to tell, but... The deer, I think they fared, you know, very well over the winter. There's a lot of does with two or three fawns, and it looks like they pulled off, you know, just as good as you can get, because I've been seeing a lot of deer early in the morning and late at night. So, you know, right now it looks, the duck thing looks good, the pheasants look good, the deer thing looks good. Just waiting for this water temperature to go down a little bit, because, you know, the fishing is really slowed, and a couple of these big water lakes I've been on, just like Otter Tail is a good example. There are so many perch in that lake. They are everywhere. I'm graphing them on my electronics everywhere I go, from 20 to 40 feet of water, huge clouds. And, you know, that's a good thing, I guess, for the lake. But for fishing, man, they got so much food. They don't even need to chase your bait. So I think it's going to be quite slow until probably getting into October. And I've seen that on other lakes as well. So it looks like there was a great, you know, bait fish hatch overall, which is good, you know, naturally. But for fishing, it's going to make it a little bit tough, you know, until they knock those down. So, you know, we'll have to see.
Yeah, Steve, deep water now if you're chasing walleye?
You know, not really, Steve. We're still in that kind of shallow situation, which... Again, I have no explanation. They've been shallow, and the crappies have been shallow since, you know, opening fishing in May. And I don't know. You know, our water temperature went up pretty high, and then it went way down. And right now it's 73, 74, which is really ideal. And I'm still catching fish in 8 to 12 feet of water. And I've been checking, you know, my deep water haunts and stuff, and I'm not seeing fish out deep. They're still shallow. Weed growth is, you know, depending on the lake you're on, you know, could be 14 feet, 15 feet, but these fish are definitely relating to the edge of the weeds, depending on the lake that you're on, the water quality. There are some algae issues that are starting now, especially in Grant County. I've been down there quite a bit, and it's getting kind of nasty down there. We're getting the blue-green algae down there into Douglas County. So, you know, you do have those issues in farm country right now at this time of the year, which is very typical. But I'm catching fish there. It's just, it doesn't look really great. It's kind of nasty water, but, you know, it'll come and it'll go. That's what, you know, blue-green algae does. It blooms for a while, and then it leaves, and you know, we've been helped with a lot of good rainfall, which has diluted it quite a bit. And actually, Steve, for the first time in probably 2-3 years, I can tell you the water levels are actually coming up and looking good. After, you know, 3 years of really low water, we've really made up for it, and things are looking good.
Yeah, and, you know, it's one of those things where things transition very quickly into fall and hunting season. And Steve, I would assume, talked to you on the radio for a long, long time, you're kind of chomping at the bit. The bow season coming up rapidly.
You know, this is the time of year, Steve, I'm kind of tired of cleaning leeches out of my bow, charging batteries, and I'm getting a little semi-burned out because I've been on the water since March. And yeah, the dove season starts in 4 weeks, so that's something to really think about. Bow season, 6 weeks. So, yeah, this is all right around the corner, and, you know, this is the time of year we start thinking about that and getting our stuff, you know, in order and practicing with the bow and getting the shotgun out. So, yeah, it'll be here, you know, before you know it. So we're almost through, you know, August. August is just blazing by, and, you know, so far we're – you know, it's just this weather, Steve. I'm telling you, we're getting front after front and storms at night and just the craziest weather and still catching fish, but it's really kind of affected the consistency of the fishing. It's just, it seems like every 2 days we're getting all kinds of thunderstorms through here. And so I hope things kind of moderate a little bit. And I really don't want to see any more, you know, 80s and 90s. I'd really like to see the 60s and 70s. So as things cool down, we'll have a great fall fishing season, and that usually starts about beginning of October, middle of October, and things cool down, and then it really gets going great.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but we had some big thunderstorms rumble through the cities last night. It popped me out of bed at about 2:30 or so. I was like, what is going on?
Well, fish don't like that, Steve. They don't like lightning. Heavy rain's not a big deal, but they don't like that either. And it really does put them off their patterns and, you know, move them off their shallow areas. And it's very disruptive for fishing, but, you know, 14, 18, 20 hours later, they'll come around again, but they don't like it anymore than you do. And they don't want to get woken up like you do.
that was a bummer. And I just wanted to make sure that everything was okay. And then it was like, all right, I think we'll survive. You know, it is amazing with thunderstorms. I've learned, all right, we get that initial gust front, and we get the big winds, and then, all right, time to go back to bed. We survived. But we got over an inch in my neck of the woods, so we got plenty of rain. That has not been an issue. Well, Steve, have a good week, and we'll do it again next Saturday.
All right, that's great, Steve. Take care, man.
There he is, Steve Kearney, stevekearneyoutdoors.com. He's been joining us for years, and before you know it, we'll be jumping right into that fall hunting season. It is 4:15. We'll come back, get you up to date on the headlines. A first in the major leagues. A woman is now an umpire in the big league. I don't know what took so long. This has really been a non-story in the NBA for a long time. A lot of women are working games in the NBA, and that it's years. It's a non-story, but the big leagues broke that barrier today. We'll get into that. Some golf. The FedEx Cup playoffs are underway. And in all their wisdom, they're playing a tournament in early August in Memphis, Tennessee. It makes no sense. We'll get into all of that here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
History was made today in the suburbs of Atlanta. The Miami Marlins, Atlanta Braves. It was a makeup game, rained out April 6th. Braves win it 7-1. Saying, okay. But Jen Powell became the first woman to umpire a game in the major leagues. She's umpired 1,200 minor league games across every affiliate level over the past 10 years. And a little bit about her. She played softball at Hofstra, played in the World Series, the College World Series, in 01, and has been paying her dues in the minor leagues and made it to the majors. She was at first base in Game 1. Game 2 of the day-night doubleheader in Atlanta, she'll be at third. And then tomorrow, behind the plate, Lindsey Brown is our producer. How about that, Lindsey? All these years, all these games, a woman has made it to the major leagues as an umpire. And my first reaction, good for Jen Powell. A second reaction is, what took so long?
I think it should have taken longer, Steve. I don't like it. I don't like the women in the professional sports. I don't like it when they have say in the outcome of the games. I don't like any of it, obviously being completely sarcastic. It's ridiculous that it's taken this long, but if there's anything that dies hard, it's baseball tradition. And so just in time for robot umpires to take over, they'll let the ladies come in and call a game.
Hey, can we take a quick break?
Sure.
I got to attend to something. Give me a minute, and we'll come right back. Can we do that? I spilled the Sprite Zero on nothing vital. But it was kind of like no. It was Sprite Zero, so it's not like sticky, and I'm going to be cleaning it up for a month. And it didn't get on a computer or anything. I do remember in Studio 6, someone spilled a cup of coffee, and this went down during the fair. I don't know if it was a year ago or 2 years ago, but someone in studio spilled a cup of Joe on the dump button.
No.
And what that does, this is inside radio. The dump button takes us out of delay. We have a delay, so in case someone inadvertently or advertently uses bad language, we can dump it and it doesn't go out over the public airways. And that knocked us off the air because the dump button shorted out.
At the fair?
Well, no, it didn't happen at the fair. It happened in studio.
Right, but it was during fair time.
But
is
it
that
was
what
during
saying?
The fair.
Oh, my
so
God.
So it was
there
just
no
complete chaos and so on
oh
and so forth.
God.
But none of that happened here. But there was like, Lindsey, I need to take a break while I deal with the Sprite Zero
I'm
everywhere.
Glad that it wasn't anything serious, although thoughts and prayers to the Sprite. Have you had this new Sprite? And I call it the Spicy Sprite, where it's cherry lime. It's excellent.
No.
It's about 400 grams of sugar, but other than that, it's totally fine.
I saw the what is there, Sprite Zero with tea?
What?
As well? I might.
There's like Sprite coffee creamer now. There's just too much expansion of the businesses. You talked about the verticals earlier. I don't know if you were talking about them in terms of the definition where, like, Gilded Age back in the day with the Industrial Revolution, the big players would just take over a whole pillar of business and they would take up all the profits. This is a different type. We're taking over every business and not doing it very well.
Well, the thing about beverages is that my beverage taste, I'm a big fan of Diet Coke. I've expanded into Diet Sprite. and try that as a change of pace. I used to drink a lot of sugared soda. When I first started in radio years ago, and I got into morning radio when I was in Sioux Falls, to kind of jumpstart my day, I would get a 2-liter bottle of Mountain Dew because they were cheap. Way back in the day, you could get at the grocery store a 2-liter bottle of Mountain Dew for like 99 cents. This is way back when. And I would just buy those because they were cheap. And I'd grab a cold one out the door. And then it was kind of like, I'm drinking way too much of this.
There's
stuff.
No cup holder that exists on Earth that could handle that, Steve. How but are it, you, you don't doing need a that cup in the 80s?
No cup holder needed when you got a cap and you tighten it up and just
so you
lay
just,
it on
you the just seat. You just hold it in between your legs in the driver's seat and just say, at the next stoplight, I'm going to take a swig? All the backwash potential is high.
The 2-liter of Mountain Dew would ride shotgun with me, Lindsay.
Okay, so did you belt it legally for safety?
Yeah, with the shoulder.
You
want to
talk about an issue if that thing burst open in the car? That would have been the stickiest situation. Do you remember in the wintertime when I had a Diet Coke explode in my car?
I do remember that.
I just got my car detailed like last week. Otherwise, I've been riding or dying with the remnants of that very special memory.
I want photos.
Of the clean car?
Yeah. And you were in with Chad Hartman for a week. Did the Diet Coke exploding story come up?
No.
Did you ever get
around? He doesn't ask me questions about myself. He knows that it's about Chad. We know it.
Yeah. Well, fair enough.
It's his show.
He's a big star.
He is?
Back to Jen Powell making her Major League debut.
Yes.
And I think this is an important point. Happy for the Major Leagues that... she has paid her dues. 1,200 games in toiling in the minor leagues. And she got called up to the show, and that's great. And I'm happy for her. I mean, it is an achievement. Whether you make it to the big leagues as a coach, as a manager, as a player, as a broadcaster, as an umpire, it is an achievement. Because it is a sport where, you know, just because you were good in college, you don't immediately get a shot. There are very few players that go straight from college to the big leagues. There's some. But, you know, in all of those spots, you definitely have to pay your dues for the most part in the minors. She paid her dues, and good for her. But it's a long time coming. The NBA has had women as game officials for a long, long time. Dee Cantor, Violet Palmer, joined the league in 97. Now, there's some that'll say that the NBA hasn't gone far enough, that they should be doing more, but you will see NBA games and you'll see women out there. So it is certainly another positive worth pointing out. And seriously, you played sport. Have you ever had interest, Lindsay, in being a game official? Have you ever said, you know what, I want to officiate a hockey game? I mean, you play goalies, and goalies have to be great skaters.
Mm-hmm. The best skater on the team, Steve, some would say.
You know, would you want to be a game official? Have you ever done it?
Absolutely not. I've done it once for club hockey in college, and it was a disaster. And it's great money reffing, especially around here. And I got some inside business connections. But here's the problem, Steve. As much as a good skater, a goalie is, we are also in a fixed position. We are in the crease. Sometimes we go a little adventuring, maybe try to play the puck, make their forecheck ineffective. But you're supposed to stay home. And with that, you watch the chaos go around you. When I'm trying to call on or off sides by the blue line and everybody's skating around me, I don't even know where I am. I try to play and skate out, Steve. I'm not just a drill wrecker. I'm a flow wrecker. I don't know where to stand. I don't know when to go. And I can get pushed over by 70-year-olds in front of the net. That's what happened to me a couple years ago when I stayed out last time. So, no, Steve, I do not want a referee, mostly because I have no idea what's going on because there's too much movement that includes me.
Well, I remember years ago, and I have played sports, watched sports, called sports my entire life. I've even gotten into lacrosse. And part of it is understanding the rules. Not every nuance of the rule book, but understanding calling a hockey game, what's offside, what's icing. You got to know the basics. And I happened to be in South Dakota at the time, and one of the umpires couldn't make it. And typically they want two umpires. You want a home plate umpire, and this was amateur baseball or town team baseball. And they looked around and they said, you know, we need an umpire. We'd prefer a base umpire. So I went out there and umpired an amateur game, just called out of the stands and umpired. And it was kind of like, I don't know how many baseball games I've called in my life, or as a younger person, how many I had played in. But it was kind of like, okay, where am I supposed to stand when there's a runner on first as the base umpire? And where am I supposed to... It was...
But you heard the call and you stepped up for your community.
I applaud you. But I know exactly what you're saying. It was kind of like, okay, what am I supposed to do here? I mean, I know when the pitcher throws over to first and, you know, okay, you've got to keep an eye on that play. And then, you know, I was mentally exhausted after umpiring on the base that night. So once again, we needed game officials. And once again, congrats to Jen Powell. And if you have a thought about being a part of the game or staying in the game, the high school leagues, youth sports, they need umpires.
I just want to know what your calling cadence was like. Well, I
wasn't at home plate. I wasn't calling balls and strikes.
It's a fair ball.
I'm just glad no one tried the hidden ball trick on me.
Oh, the parents would have roasted you on a steak. Could you imagine? Yeah.
Well, and these were mostly guys in college, out of college, into their early 30s. It was town team ball.
So they've been there
before.
So
it was amateur baseball.
Yes.
No, but... But I thought they had an opportunity to mess with the new guy. But they didn't. They played it straight up. 4:32, quick break. We'll have an update on the weather. Speaking of town team, Minnesota Baseball Association State Amateur Baseball Tournament starts at four sites next weekend and continues through Labor Day. And we will have the president of that fine organization, Mark Forsman, will join us. And we will preview the tournament, the towns, and the new format for 2025 here on News Talk. 830-WCCO.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
The sun is out. The rain has moved on. 81 degrees, south winds at 8 miles an hour. Dew point still up there at 71, but we expect that dew point to drop. But the problem with that is, and we've seen the pattern, it will usher in some smoke. Fog develops overnight tonight, low near 66. For Sunday, patchy fog, otherwise sunny in 82. Monday, patchy fog early, otherwise sunny in 84. 82 Tuesday, 84 Wednesday. Slight chance of rain Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, with highs in the upper 80s. And speaking of Friday, first night of the state amateur baseball tournament at four sites. We'll have more on that in a moment. Right now, 81 degrees, and we will point out that air quality alert, all of Minnesota, and it will start at 9 a.m. Sunday and continue through 9 a.m. Tuesday. The worst of the air quality, the heaviest smoke, north of the cities. From the cities south, not as bad, but you will notice. But some spots up north could be tough, particularly tomorrow and Monday, the way it looks. 4:35 here on a Saturday. Twins and Royals tonight here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. The big selection show is tomorrow night, where the bracket will be announced for all three classes of the 2025 Minnesota Baseball Association State Tournament. It starts Friday at four sites and continues through Labor Day. Mark Forsman joins us. He's the president of the MBA joining us. Mark, good to visit with you. Hard to believe another state tournament is almost here.
Yeah, Steve, it just came upon us really quick. You know, we fought with a little bit of weather during the summer with all the rain, and all of a sudden we turn our heads and we're in a state tournament again.
Yeah, and it is such a great tournament and such a great event. It's been around a long time. It's a wonderful tradition. And the towns that host these tournament games are proud of their fields, are proud of their communities, and they really step up. And I know 2025 will be no exception.
Yeah, no exception for our four communities who are hosting this year's tournament. We have Broughton, Hutchinson, Glencoe, and Gaylord. And they've been putting a lot of fine touches on their field and getting ready for the people to come and compete in our baseball tournament.
Yeah, it is such a great tournament. And I know upgrades are made to these facilities, but, you know, these ballparks around the state where we've seen state tournament games over the years, and I've been fortunate enough to be a part of some of the broadcasts on NSPN.TV. All the games are streamed on NSPN.TV, and we should point out the selection show tomorrow night will be available on your YouTube channel, and we want to point that out to people so they can see what, you know, opening round games, where they're going to be. And once again, it is a big honor for these towns. They want to be a part of this tournament, don't they, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, we have a bid selection every 4 years to be able to host this tournament, and it's a feather in their cap for these communities, and they also make a pretty good bunch of money here doing it while they host. So, yeah, they work real hard to get the bid, and it's kind of you know, everybody's trying to out-compete each other as far as their fields, too, in the state of Minnesota. So that really gets our fields looking really nice.
Yeah, it is outstanding. And you mentioned the weather. Hopefully we're going to get good weather, because it was a tough year for all these teams to get games in. I know I live in the northern suburbs of the city. The closest team to me, the Champlain Park Logators, and the Logators had a heck of a time getting games in. And up the road, the Andover Aces and the Anoka Bucks are the teams closest to me. And it was a challenging year for everybody.
Yeah, it was a challenging year. We even had the storm come through last night and delayed a bunch of games. Yeah. We need to get this weekend over with. We spend a lot of time. It's kind of my busiest weekend right now as far as matchups and getting the brackets all done. And when you get some rain that causes problems, it just delays all of our process also.
Yeah, so once again, the bracket will be revealed tomorrow night, once again, on the YouTube channel. And our good friend Ryan Phelps is going to host that. Once again, all the tournament games on the stream on NSPN.TV. You mentioned the towns that are hosting. They're gearing up and getting ready. And this year we have a bit of a new wrinkle. I know there's been some tweaking of the formats of the state tournament. Mark, maybe you can speak to that and how this tournament's going to be laid out this year.
Well, so as you know, Steve, we added another class. We saw the last 5 years that in our Class C tournament, the same 16 to 24 teams were always coming back to the state tournament, and it was basically the bigger city. So we revised a criteria system to evaluate where teams actually belong with their city population, if they're going outside of their population and getting college players, and then their success points. So we put that formula together, and that's how we came up with the A, B, and C. So now we have three classes, and we're really fired up for this to see how this is going to work, because there's going to be a lot of teams that have never sniffed the state tournament in many, many years. So they're getting an opportunity to come. So we're looking to get over 30,000 people this year.
Yeah. And, you know, Mark, it is extraordinary after being at the C championship game at the Mini Met in Jordan, and huge crowds there, and huge crowds in Belle Plaine, and all the great venues over the years. Folks really turn out for this tournament. I know you kind of go head-to-head with the State Fair, and the State Fair draws record crowds, and this state tournament's a great draw as well.
Well, yeah, you know, Steve, in our society right now, I mean, there's so many things for our kids to do and families to do. You're competing against many different things. But once you get the taste of our state tournament and the just a bare bones baseball for the love of the game, and you come and you can get hot dogs and a beverage, very reasonable, no parking, and you come down there and you watch guys competing for a state tournament like you've never seen anybody compete in any kind of a competition. So, I mean, there's crying at the end of games when they lose, and there's celebrations you've never seen before. So,
yeah, it's always a great show for sure, in the quality of baseball. A lot of good players. You know, a lot of guys that played in college or even made it to the minor leagues. I know some of the great storylines, Corey Koski playing with his boys at Loretto. I mean, there's so many great stories with all these teams.
Yeah, you're exactly right with the Koskis. They play together. They have three boys, and I think the youngest one actually played with them this year. Yep. But they did not make it this year. They got beat out. But, you know, you had the Steinbachs back in the day, and I know Roening was trying to get back. I think he just got released from Major League Baseball, but he asked to get his four games in, so he couldn't compete with Gaylord this year. But there's a lot of good players that are coming out of Minor League Baseball. There's a Muckenhearn that is playing with Delano. He just got out of Triple-A and played with Delano this year, so... Yeah, you're seeing some high-quality people playing some baseball, so.
Yeah, and once again, Brack, tomorrow night, and then all four venues, and we'd love to see folks in all four of those towns, Brown, Hutch, Gaylord, and Glencoe are the four towns hosting the tournament, and of course, three weekends running through Labor Day.
That is correct. Yeah, Glencoe will have just strictly a Class A the first weekend. And then the other three parks will do the B and C tournaments. But, yeah, they're ready for a bunch of people to show up, and the fields look good. We went and looked at them, and everything looks just ready to go. So,
yeah, look forward to it. Well, Mark, thanks for the time today. I know you're busy, and hopefully we get all the games in, and we'll be able to get that bracket out. And for more info on the tournament and the Minnesota Baseball Association, MinnesotaBaseballAssociation.org, all the info there. And then check out the YouTube channel tomorrow night at 7 for the bracket reveal. Thanks again, Mark.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. And we'll maybe see you around the park calling some games.
Yeah, I hope so. I think they've got me slated to go out to Hutch next Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm kind of bouncing around putting out fires as the president, so I don't get kind of in one place at any given time, but I'm just all over. So hopefully we'll see you at the park and everybody else.
Well, and I know the way to Hutch because my first radio job was out in Montevideo, so I had to drive through Hutch a ton of times. So I know the way blindfolded.
You don't know. You need your GPS then.
For sure. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks again, Mark.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Have a good one.
Yep. 15 minutes now in front of 5 here at News Talk 830 WCCO. Twins and Royals. All the trades went down. Fans were upset. Twins are playing pretty good ball right now. Game 2 of the 3-game set with the Royals. We'll have some highlights from a big win last night. Joe Ryan gave up a home run early, settled in. Twins bats came alive. Luke Kuechel had a big night. We'll get into all of that. Phil Miller joins us following the news and weather at 5. The lineup card at 5:30 here on the home of the Twins. News Talk 830 WCCO. Weather should be outstanding for the ball game tonight at Target Field. Game 2 of the 3-game set, Twins and Royals. And the Twins playing pretty well, still 5 games under .500. But they win 9-4, bang out 14 hits in the win. Joe Ryan is your winner. 11-5. It didn't start out particularly well for Joe in the Friday night game at Target Field.
There's a 3-1 pitch on the way. Swung on and hit well right field. Waller just watches it go. Home run, Yastrzemski, and the Royals jump on top. Mike Yastrzemski just pummeled that baseball. A screaming liner at 110 off the bat. Onto the plaza, it's 1-0 Royals on a 3-1 cookie.
So there you go. Yastrzemski hammers the cookie, and away it goes. But it didn't take long for the Twins to tie it up.
The 3-1 smashed in the air. Deep left center field. That's a Wally ball, and it's gone into the bullpen. This game is tied. More than just pull power. That ball was down and away, and then it was up, up, and away from Matt Wallner. That's number 16.
So just like 1-1. Just like that, 1-1, as Chris Atterbury said, and then the Twins didn't stop there.
And this ball through the right side for a base hit. Keyshaw's done it again. Jeffers scores. Clemens goes to third, and the new-look Twins lead it 2-1 here in the first.
Luke, I haven't been paying that close of attention to the fan reaction, but you would think that's going to become a thing rapidly when he comes to the plate. And the fun continued in the bottom of the second inning as the Twins extended their lead.
Infield plays for two, and this ball is lined up the middle for a base hit. Gasper got a good jump, getting the windmill from Tommy Watkins. No throw from Kyle Isbell. Gasper touches home. It's an RBI single for Ryan Jeffers, and it's 4-1 Minnesota.
Yeah, they just kind of pile on. Cruise to the victory. Luke was up again in that second inning and delivered again.
First pitch to Luke, lined into center field for another base hit, making the game look easy. Here comes the lead runner. He'll score, and the Twins lead it by the score of 5-1.
Yeah, pretty impressive. He was good, then got hurt, came back, and has been good. Another guy that came over from the Phillies, he was designated for assignment, Cody Clemens. His dad, big deal in his time in the league, Roger. But Cody has done well in a Twins uniform.
That ball's crushed down the right field line. If it's fair, it is way out of here. Get up and gone. Clemens with a two-run homer. Extend the Twins' lead. 7-1. There's the nail in the coffin right there.
Yeah, and Danny turned out to be right as the Twins cruise to the victory on a Friday night at Target Field. 9-4, the final. And Joe Ryan talked about his first game at home at Target Field since the deadline.
I mean, I don't know. I didn't really think about it. I feel like it's kind of been – it happened. There was the 24-hour, 48-hour, whatever. People were kind of digesting everything. I think we played really good baseball in Detroit. Beating them up was pretty fun, and then beating these guys up tonight was great. So, yeah, I think the team is just focused on the team that we are now and going forward and winning baseball games. And like I said, I just think it's a good opportunity for a lot of these guys that have been given this chance to make a name for themselves, play the best baseball they can, and put themselves in the best position of a good career, and then that's to the team's advantage as well. So,
yeah, and he makes a very astute point there. 24, 48 hours, you can kind of dwell on the changes, and then you realize you are a paid employee, and your job is to produce. And if you want to stay in the major leagues, you go out and produce whoever you're on the field with. And I think that's what he's saying there, and I think that's 100% correct. There isn't a lot of time, because he even said before the deadline, I think Joe Ryan was asked if he ended up somewhere else. Well, you know, that's the business. I could end up somewhere else and can't dwell on it. So I think Joe Ryan's been pretty thoughtful. The manager, Rocco Baldelli, certainly been hearing it at times from the fans, talked about how everyone contributed to the win.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about. That's actually exactly what I'm looking for, and I think everybody's looking for. There were a lot of guys contributing, a lot of guys doing some pretty impressive things out there. Both sides of the ball. It's hard to even like start and know where to start. Joe gave us another really strong outing. TA comes in. The pitching was good. The defense pretty good, and the bats really came alive up and down the order. So it was everyone. It wasn't just one swing, two swings. It was a great start to the game where you're really taking over the game early against a good pitcher, and just impressed with what I watched.
So Twins get the win. Good start to the homestand at Target Field. Can they continue it behind Bailey Ober tonight? We will certainly find out. The lineup card comes your way at 5:30 today. First pitch at 6:10. Of course, Ober had that rough June, then the stint on the injured list, and certainly a big part of the Twins going forward, and that has been the talk. Can Pablo Lopez return? You do have Bailey Ober. You have Joe Ryan. You have Azebe Matthews. You have other pieces. Yes, a lot of arms left the bullpen. There is a great deal of frustration, but the Twins that are there can still go out and win ball games and compete. They did it 9-4. They're on a good stretch right now. We'll see if they continue it tonight at Target Field. We already mentioned quite a few games already in the books in the big leagues today, including Jen Powell making her major league debut as an umpire in the Braves 7-1 win over the Marlins. That's a day-night doubleheader. She was at first. Powell will be over at third tonight in game two of that day-night doubleheader, and then behind home plate tomorrow. Other finals, it was the Yankees beating the Astros 5-4, and some games already in progress, including the Nats and the Giants. Nats lead at 4-1 by the Bay. We'll have the news, we'll have the weather, and then Phil Miller from the Writer's Corner.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.